one of the things, Mutombo, that I really enjoy about your videos is just the personality that comes out in your editing. I feel like you're one of the few people who makes a vlog and I watch it. In fact, I don't know, one of the first, like you, there's Cody Warner. There's very few people on the internet who make a vlog and I watch it. I don't watch vlogs, but I like your vlogs. And I think I was a couple of days ago in the Cameroon YouTubers group, somebody was like, oh, everybody's talking about Mutombo. Who's this Mutombo that everybody's talking about? I need to check Mutombo out. I was like, you have no idea. In for a treat. So as we begin, right, I know that's just one aspect of a lot of what you do. There's so many things that you've done. You've traveled across the continent. Maybe I'm exaggerating, but you've traveled to many countries. You've worked in a domain that is predominantly male-dominated, which is electrical engineering space. Yeah. You are working not just as what you do for work, what you've done in your training, but also you're a graphic designer. And I think the same graphic designer is like minimizing what you do. You do a lot of things. But for somebody who doesn't know you, somebody who has never come across any of your videos, somebody who is like, all right, who is this person? Come, guys, interview me or talking with. How would you describe yourself?
Well, you know, the way you just packaged all of that, I feel like I don't need to introduce myself anymore. But let's see, for somebody who is meeting me for the very first time, I will start with my name. My name is Mutombo. I am a Cameroonian, and I have learned to not introduce myself using my profession because, as you've outlined, that changes almost every day. So, Yes, I'm a Cameroonian. I am a child of God. That's what I like to tell people. I'm a child of God. I am an introvert. And I'm just looking for a life that fulfills me. So
a life that fulfills me.
Yeah. Yes. And I think the thing that fulfills me the most these days is creating. So whether it is drawing, you know, through artwork, or creating videos, editing, you know, those are the things that kind of fulfill me when at the end of the day I can sit and look at what I've done and say, okay, I've made this video, I've produced this artwork. Yeah, I think those are the things that I like to spend my time doing.
One of the things that tells me about you is just this idea of creation, which I think we all have by being made in the image of Christ, image of God, because God is a creator. And when we make things, it's a way of fulfilling that duty of go and be fruitful. Like you make things, whether it's making a plant, making a life, making content. And it's nice that you describe yourself like that, because if that is what brings you fulfillment, then it's very clear to me that you're on your path. Like you're making the things that you're supposed to make with your life, supposed to bring things to life. And what I love about your videos specifically is that your personality shines in your editing. And it's something that I think content creators understand better. Somebody who spends a lot of time editing, you realize that in the beginning of your YouTube process, you don't yet know what you're doing. You're learning from everybody. You know, you're picking up
Peter
McKinnon style. Exactly. Right. And then as soon as you start figuring out your tools, then you start to say, hey, why don't I do this instead this way? I like how this looks differently. And I see that a lot in your content specifically. And I'm curious to know how you stumbled on this journey. How did you become a YouTube creator? How did you become an artist? I don't know if those two stories are the same or if they differ, but I would love to, you know, so let's start with YouTube and then we can go to your drawing.
Yeah, okay. So those are actually very similar stories.
Okay.
I just want to address one thing that you mentioned. The personality shining through in your content. If you go to my first videos, they were extremely rigid. There was no personality there, none whatsoever. So I just want to encourage anybody who is starting out and maybe you feel like, okay, this video is not really portraying me the way I am, you know, with my friends. It's going to take time. It's going to take time for that to settle in, for you to really get a hang of how you want to present yourself online and what is a true representation of who you are. So, yes, I just want to say my videos didn't start out, you know, with me really just feeling very free in front of the camera. There was a time that I would not appear on camera without makeup, believe it or not. Yes. For all my first videos, I would sit down, do a full face beat before I start talking, because I did not trust that I could convey the message in with enough personality for the personality to carry the video through, I felt like I needed to look good.
Yeah.
So, yes. Anyway, let me actually answer your question because I just created my own question and answered it.
But hey, I love it. This is how it happens around here. So feel free. We create questions, we answer them, we go to side stories. So carry on.
Yes. Okay. So as for how I got into YouTube, it all started, you know, with the dawn of social media. Before social media,
the year was
1995. Sorry. In a cold, deserted land. Far, far away. Oh, wow. Not the soundtrack.
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
Oh, my Carry God. On. Okay, so.
Yeah.
Yes, so when my mom got her very first laptop, I was just leaving high school, about to go to.
What year was that?
That was 2011.
Okay.
Yeah, 2010, 2011. Yes. So I was just leaving high school, about to start, you know, start school in the university. I went to the University of Boya for my undergraduate degree. And this thing called the webcam. Hey, I did the absolute most. We had videos of us dancing with very grainy footage. The camera quality was terrible, but we had so many videos. We had so much fun at home, you know.
When you say we, who was that?
That's us in the house. Me, my siblings.
Okay.
Yeah, sometimes my friends. Yeah, eventually I carried that laptop to UB, to the university, mm-hmm. and continued making videos. I was just constantly filming. When I finally got a smartphone, I think that was in like my third or fourth year of university, I started filming. I was like, to have a camera in my own hand, because it was one thing to have a laptop. You cannot go everywhere with your laptop.
Yeah.
Having a smartphone that I could carry everywhere. Oh my gosh, my classmates, they were literally just tired of me, because people are studying in class and I'm in their faces like, so what did you think about today's class? So what did you think about what the teacher said today? I have all this footage. If you want, I can even send you some of this footage. Like,
yeah.
So eventually I joined Snapchat and started sharing just my day-to-day life on Snapchat. So this is like a few years down the line. And people started texting me, you know, messaging me like, you share so much, you give restaurant reviews, you know, you always give tips, like if you're in Douala and you want to do this, come to this place, or don't come to this place. It would be good if you package all of that into YouTube videos. But at the time, I just felt like, YouTube, you know, it wasn't cool to be a YouTuber at the time. So I was like, would I really take my time to do this? But eventually I said, okay, no, let me just try. I tried it and I fell in love. And since I put up my very first YouTube video in 2019, I haven't stopped.
2019?
Yeah.
That's like just how many years ago? It's not even up to, it's just.
That's like four years ago, 5 years this year.
That's 4 years ago. Yeah. I thought you were going to say that, since 2012 or something.
Oh, sorry. Wait. No, 2012. No. That.
No,
2019. I didn't even have a smartphone in 2012. I didn't even have.
Yeah, I'm genuinely surprised. Yeah. For some reason, I've always thought that you've been online for like 8 years.
Oh, no, dude.
Okay. So when you started, how did that feel like, that first video? Do you remember what it was? You know, some people usually say they had like nerves. They were worried about what the world was going to say. But it seems to me that you already had some practice. You sort of already enjoyed making videos. So it wasn't that big of a deal for you.
Exactly. You know, I used to, these old videos that I have been talking to you about, the ones that we made, you know, with the webcam and all of that. I used to edit those using Windows Movie Maker.
I remember Windows Movie Maker.
And Windows Movie Maker used to export in a format that you could only play on your Windows computer using Windows Media Player.
WMV.
Yes.
That was the format.
Yes. So you couldn't really share those videos with anybody.
And there was no converter at the time that you could use.
Exactly. Or you would have to find an online converter, and then the internet connection at that time,
internet.
We were on 3G. It was a struggle on all fronts.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, wow. You know what? I haven't thought back to those days.
Yeah.
In a very long time. Just this conversation has really taken me, you know, back and really put me in that position. And I'm looking around and seeing all the things that we did and and all the tools that were available to us then.
What are some of the other things that you did that during that time? Because I know that there was like cyber cafes where people go and spend. I used to go and spend the night to go and download movies and things to watch over the night. But I don't think that's something that you did. So I'm just curious how you were able to do the internet at the time. How was that like?
Okay, so fortunately, we were UB girls. So there was this service called, was it Speed Cafe or something? Speednet.
Speedwave.
Oh, there you go. Speedwave. Oh my gosh. We would go and buy minutes from them. And then so for those of us who lived near their hub, it was we used to get the waves very strong from them. The signal was very strong from our rooms. But I know that not every university room had, you know, very good signals from them. But I was lucky, so I was able to use them.
Wow. And I know that was just the beginning of your journey. And I'm curious because I know for some people, they start to do YouTube because they hear that people are making money with YouTube. You started doing YouTube because you just enjoyed making videos and you had fun doing it.
Yeah.
And other people recommended, hey, why don't you do that and package it? Did your reason for starting change over time? Did you add other things on your journey, or has it remained consistent for you? What would you say has been like?
I think it has evolved. Because when I started, especially when it was just for social media, just for Snapchat, I really didn't have to put a lot of work into it. But with the amount of work that goes into videos these days, and with the fact that unless you are just exceptional, you can't really go far. Like your videos can't really blow, you know, the colloquial blow. Your videos can't really blow unless they are really well done. So with all of that and with the amount of effort that it takes to make a good video these days, I don't know if I would necessarily be consistent without being able to support myself from YouTube. Because YouTube is extremely demanding. And I think it has become more demanding with time. I don't think those who were uploading in, say, 2012, 2013, even up to 2015, I don't think they are going through what we are going through now to produce one video. So while I started with, oh, I really just want to put this out there. I want to be able to just, you know, have this community that just enjoys my work. It's literally like art, right? When an artist paints something, they want people to be able to admire it, enjoy it, to love it, and even give feedback. So that's the way it started out. But now I think, I don't think it's wise to go into YouTube with a one-track mind where it's like, okay, it's my passion. Unless really it's your passion and you really want to do it on the side. If you're going to do it as maybe supplementary income or as even full-time income, you actually have to think of how it's going to support you and also how the time that you put into it will be justified.
So that's right. That's, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm actually having trouble thinking of it that way.
That's a whole other conversation I will probably have privately, because I think it's one that evolves, and I would love to have Nora on this conversation. I think she probably has a lot of insights on that, because she's on the other side of the conversation, which is where, anyway, that's what I had to share it. So basically the question that I have, the last question I have when it comes to content creation is, you changed the name of the channel. It used to be Mutombo Daily. And I've been looking forward to asking this question, because I have a feeling that it's one of those stories of either burnout or vision change, or when you reach your limits and you're like, okay, I don't think I can do this the way that I'm thinking I could do it.
Yeah.
So I want to hear the story. What happened? What was the name before? Then what was the name after? Because it was Mutombo Daily at some point, and then now it's Mutombo in Progress.
Yes.
So can you walk us through the evolution of the name of the channel?
Okay, it actually started as the Sassy Experience because...
That is right. I remember Sassy. That was the first. Yes. Before, yeah.
Yeah, because all,
wow,
all I've my friends...
For a while.
Yeah. Yeah, since the inception.
I know.
Yeah. So all my friends call me Sassy. That's the thing. Right up to this day, everybody calls me Sassy. So...
Yeah, except me, apparently. Carry on. So, sorry for interrupting.
Yeah, so at the beginning, I knew that the name The Sassy Experience wouldn't go far. I knew that I wouldn't use that name for long because it just sounded like a high school thing, like, the sassy girls, mean girls, you know, it sounded like
when
that.
Teenagers.
And yes, so I knew that eventually I'll have to find a name that I could use long term. Ideally, if it was up to me, I would use just my name, Mutombo, like the way you have Kamga Chasa. I like that. But the thing is, when I went in to do my research, when I type in Mutombo, I only see Dikembe Mutombo. Like, I only see, like, NBA stats. I don't see my channel coming up. So I had to add something to the end. It couldn't just be Mutombo.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, I'm making videos about my daily life, so I'll name it Mutombo Daily. But then people started calling me Daily, like, as if Daily was my last name. So, and at some point, I actually did not have the strength to continue correcting everybody. Like, you know what? Daily, like, is not actually my name. It's just to say, it's just like Mutombo Weekly. It's just to say I make, you know, videos about my daily life. And I
should change it to Mutombo Monthly, and then she can call you Monthly.
No, but then again, people say, oh, yes, that was another thing. People used to tell me, okay, you say your name is Mutombo Daily, but you don't upload every
this
day.
Daily.
You don't upload every day. So where are the videos?
Yeah.
Where are the videos?
You set expectations and you did not meet them.
So I said, okay, this name is backfiring on all fronts. And another thing too is what you've mentioned, change in direction, change in purpose, change in the vision of the channel, right? I no longer want to make vlogs just for the sake of vlogging. You know, I want to make vlogs with purpose, showing maybe a project in progress. For example, I've really fallen in love with producing series, right? I've produced quite a number of series over the past year or so. Wedding series,
one of my favorite actually was I love the South African series when you were talking about your experiences in South Africa. I think that was one of those I personally followed a lot more than the recent ones. Mm-hmm. This one, when you went to Kenya, I didn't follow it as much. I was like, I'll just binge watch all of them as one weekend, but I'm not going to watch every single one that comes out.
Yeah.
But I remember the other one, I would post like, Mutombo has published, I'll put it on my WhatsApp status and like new videos out or something.
And,
I felt like
an
inner circle, but yeah.
Do you know what? This one you're referring to really contributed a lot to the growth of my channel. The comparison between my life in Cameroon and my life in South Africa. And those were relatively easy videos to make. Like, it didn't require as much as vlogging. So, those are the type of videos that I really want to, you know, incorporate more into my channel. I don't want it to be just a vlog channel. I want, you know, everybody to be able to leave each video with something, having learned something, maybe learned about a new place, a new thing, a new process.
Why though? Is that something that you've always had or something that's come out as a result of just your own personal curiosity?
Fulfillment. Like I said, I'm in that phase in my life where I just need what I do to be fulfilling. You know, it was no longer fulfilling to just, you know, tape my beautiful face and put on the internet and say, okay, today I ate breakfast. Today I did my laundry. I no longer found it enjoyable. So, yeah, I wanted more for my channel.
I'm hearing is a lot of... Mm-hmm.
No, I just wanted to also add that there's this thing, when if you watch a lot of people who give, like, YouTube advice, right? they always talk about add value. It was very difficult for me to grasp what they meant by that. Like, what do you mean add value? Like, I'm just vlogging my life. How do I add value with this? But slowly, I have started to understand what they mean. Like, people should leave your videos having gained something. If you've not made them laugh, then teach them something or show them something that is, you know, entertaining or interesting, you know. So that's another thing.
That's wonderful. I'm going to use this actually as the intro of this podcast at some, see, now that I'm just, this is not live, just, this is why I wanted to have this conversation, because I knew that things like this were going to come out. A lot of people ask this question. Those who are listening on the podcast don't know what you're doing. Go and watch the video on YouTube. You're not watching. So the thing that you're sharing here is people, we've said this thing ad nauseum in the YouTubers group, in any group of people, like, create content that has value, like add value and you'll be able to make money. And people are always like, what does that mean? And you've basically answered it. People should leave your videos, your content, your article, your podcast
with
having
something.
Either learned something. With something, whatever it is, entertainment, education, information. They should leave them like, oh, I didn't know that. Or I felt great. Or I'm feeling afraid now. Like, whatever it is, they should leave with something. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate you sharing that. It's something I'll keep with me for a long time. And one of the videos I remember, and I think it's going to segue into your path, your journey of faith. I'm wondering how that... Actually, two things. One is, you mentioned at the very beginning that you're an introvert.
Yes.
And the question I want to ask before I escape this content creation conversation, but I'm loving it, by the way, is how are you able to hold your camera in public? I'm going to say this. One of the things that I'm personally worried about is that, and the reason I love my sit-down videos, is I don't have to go anywhere. I sit in my house. I'm safe.
Yeah.
I've seen you make videos in Super U. I've seen you film places that, oh, I came to this place. No, I watched you go and buy beans and plantain the other day, and you're like, I'm like, how do you do that?
Honestly, you know, just yesterday, I went out and I sat somewhere and I was filming. And I realized that after a while, the people around me started feeling uncomfortable. Like, I noticed them shift every time that I would touch my camera. So I realized that I'm actually inconveniencing everybody around me. So, you know, just out of respect for them, I just stopped, or I just indicated that this video, like, I'm just filming myself. You guys aren't appearing in this video. But honestly, it's not easy. I don't think it will ever be easy, because it's not a normal thing for you to just go out in public and just be filming people or filming yourself. If everybody did it, then you would feel comfortable doing that. But because it's so rare, it's really something that you have to ask yourself at the end of the day, do I want to get this content or not? And if the answer is yes, you have to get over it and just make, you know, get the best footage
just
you
can. Just do it.
Yes. And you know, when you're watching videos, you can actually tell when somebody is filming from a position of hiding and when they are filming and they're filming with their chest. Because we need the angles to come from on high, you know, to really see the lay of the land. So so it's something that is a fear that you just have to get over and just decide, okay, I want to take footage of this street. I need to actually remove my camera and get footage of this street. A hack that other people do, you know, something that other people do.
Give us, yes.
They use stock footage. Like, I've been seeing people using a lot of stock footage of Douala or of whatever city they are, you know, filming from. And I guess that works as well. But...
Yes, that's fake news. But, but that's a great tip. You know, the question you ask, like, do you really want to get this content or not? Because at the end of it, you have to ask yourself, what's the worst that could happen?
Exactly.
Would somebody come and take my phone? Like what you did, you know, telling the people, hey, I'm just filming myself, you know, people should be fine.
Yeah.
Making sure that you're safe. And I guess the more you do it, the more you get comfortable and the more people recognize you. Like, oh, that's that person who does videos. No, she's fine.
Yeah.
I'm also guessing, have people ever come to say, hey, your film, what's the channel name? You know, have you come to check it out and things like that? Has that happened?
A few people have asked me, oh, are you a... What they asked me is, are you a TikToker? Because I guess that's what's popping now. But I say, yeah. No, I'm a YouTuber. And they say, oh, okay, yeah. Okay. Okay. Yes. Just a few people. And not you many feel people, though.
Okay, I mean it's, but I guess that happens even only in Cameroon. But that's beside the point. I'm curious to know, one, you know, you're able to film wherever you want, or at least most of the time. One of the videos I remember that stood still with me was one that you filmed in Bamenda. And I think this one is going to go a little bit personal, so forgive me if it goes to a place where you don't want to go. I remember you filming this video in front of the house, and you were explaining how much you struggled to film that particular video. And I don't know if you remember the video.
Just go on.
In Bamenda. Yes, it was you sharing your struggle with not knowing where the channel was going and just the difficulty of just life in general.
Yes,
and you were being vulnerable and you were sharing this difficult thing with this, you know, in public, first of all, as you're filming, and also editing that video and putting it out on the internet. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, because I want to find out from you how this process has been. In the beginning, you started because it was fun, but now you have come to share this very heartfelt moments, this difficult situations, like whether it's comparing countries or sharing your what you've learned in your when you and your fiance, I'm giving it the cat out of the bag, got engaged, and what you learned and what you're learning and all these things. And I'm just wondering how you get to that point as an introvert, as someone who has, I want to imagine, had to assert herself in many spaces.
Yeah.
How do you find the courage to share yourself like that with people on the internet? How do you find the courage to just be open?
Do you know what? It's actually very difficult, you know, up to today. Like as we sit here and we're talking, there are times when I go back and I look at some of these videos and I'm like, no, this is too personal. People can use this against me. You know, sometimes I actually feel like I'm putting myself, too much of myself out there. I remember the engagement video. I shared my engagement video, you know, the whole process of how my fiancé proposed to me and everything. I shared that on my channel. But there was a version of that my sister had compiled and put on Instagram as well. And she tagged me. And after a while, I went and untagged myself from that video because I didn't want that video to be on my feed, on my Instagram feed, because I just felt like that's just too personal. It's, you know, so it's anyway, that's just to say it's something that I struggle with all the time. Yeah. And I've realized that it's also a way of protecting yourself, because the more of yourself you put out there, the more people expect.
Oh, that is powerful.
Yes. So if, for example, now I sometimes mention my fiance, I shared the engagement. If, say, we go 2 years and I don't mention him or anything on the channel, people are going to ask, like, okay, so what's up with that situation? What's going on?
You're Meanwhile, preaching to the choir.
if I had never mentioned him or never put, you know, that type of content out there, people wouldn't even think to ask. So it's
100%.
It's just something that I'm just learning to tread lightly. Sometimes I put things out there and I regret, and I'm like, not because anybody has said anything or done anything, but because I just begin to feel vulnerable. I just feel like, okay, this, for example, this person who has watched this video knows this much about me. I don't know anything about them.
That is true. It's such a one-sided, and it's the whole thing about this parasocial relationship, because, excuse me, it is what you're describing is, I think this is why we get along, because we understand a lot of these things. Mm-hmm. I started on the internet in 2011, 2012, writing about my relationships, my heartbreak. So people will read my articles and then they'll feel like they know me. Mm-hmm. And I was doing this and it was fine. Like, my parents didn't care about it. Over time now, I thought it was normal. Then I got married. And then I realized how that was impacting my marriage. Mm-hmm. And then the marriage ended, and I was like, okay, now I have to tell these people that my marriage is ending.
Yeah.
like, if I didn't tell them in the beginning, I would not have to be telling them now.
Yes.
I felt this responsibility to share because I had already crossed that line. So I guess one of the best things that we can tell other people is, don't cross lines that you're not willing to come back and say, here's why I did it.
But you know the thing is, those are the best stories, though. The personal stories are the best stories. So that's...
I guess it's a price to pay. It's a price to pay. You have to be willing to... Because I have a friend who... You would never see this friend online in any capacity that is not like a random basic photos.
Mm-hmm.
Their personal life is not on the internet. They don't have anything to do with it.
Yeah.
And I'm leaning a lot more towards that because, like you, I've seen what happens, especially when it comes to romantic relationships
yes.
and family. I think I used to not have a line. Now I've drawn my own personal line. I'm not talking about my partners. I'm not talking about my family. I'm not talking about these people. I'm just, no. You people know all the books that I read. You people know all my problems that yeah. I have at work. But my family is, don't, that one, we don't talk about it. So.
Yes.
I think what you're sharing about the fact that it still stays the same is really relevant for those who are thinking that you can just use your personal stories as clout.
Exactly. And also, your personal stories are not just about you, you know.
That's
sometimes
right.
other people might not be as comfortable with having, you know,
good question, actually. How is Vincent themselves? Handling all this? How has Vincent handled all of this evolution? Because anybody who's in your life knows that you're going to vlog about them at some point.
Yeah, but I don't know if some you've level, noticed. Yeah. I don't know if you've noticed. The only thing that you ever know about Vincent from watching my videos is his name and the fact that he's my fiancé.
Yeah, that's it. He just drives you around. That's
where he works or what he does. Like, I don't put that information there because I'm not ready to shoulder that burden. And I don't want him. I don't also want to put that burden of, you know, being in the public on him.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's right.
And he's the type of person who, he doesn't even have Instagram. He's not a social media person. So, I don't want to drag him into this world. And I love it that way. I really love it that way because, yeah.
And, yeah, it's for that reason that I'm not even going to ask how you guys met because I think that's your story to keep. What I'm going to ask though, because one of the things I wanted to talk about when it comes to your faith was just relationships in general. And so far, what I'm hearing is that you protect your partner from this social media internet thing mm-hmm. and you respect their boundaries, you respect their privacy.
Yeah.
And I think that's a wonderful thing. And I am wondering how you have been able to work together for the past how many years? Many years, I guess.
Seven.
More than five, I believe.
Oh, seven my years. Gosh. Today's our anniversary.
What? Is it a long time?
No, today's our anniversary.
What?
And we both forgot. Oh, my gosh. Yeah,
we're keeping this recording for posterity.
Oh,
congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, at least now you're engaged, so.
Oh,
so
my we should goodness. Be wow. Anyway.
This is wonderful. This point,
the good
this
thing is that neither of us is going to be pissed with the other person because we actually saw each other today and nobody wished the other happy anniversary. So nobody can hold
just
it
forget
against
about
the
it.
Other. Yes. So yeah, let's move on.
Oh man, how do you get to that point in your relationship? How do you get to this point where you're able to not care about anniversaries? And especially as one who is pursuing this journey of faith and fulfillment. I guess my question is this, you already made a video talking about what you learned. So those who want to watch, you can go and watch that video.
Yeah.
It's definitely on the internet. You can watch about what you learned during your relationships and even the engagement video.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'd like to find out, especially for me, because I'm on this new journey of being a Christian.
Yeah.
And I would also learn from those who are ahead of me on that path, which is to find out, how do you merge your faith with your relationship? Why are you opening your eyes like that?
Because you said ahead of you in that path. I don't know what you mean by ahead of you. But
what I mean is that you're closer to God than I am.
Oh, my goodness. Don't even try that. Okay.
So, first of all, everybody's on their path. There's no competition anyway.
Exactly.
So, you're right. For me and those who are wanting to, we want to have relationships,
mm-hmm.
but we also want to do it the right way. What has your experience been? And what are some of the things that you've learned along the way that you think people should keep in mind when they are wanting to build a faith-based relationship with someone that they care about?
Yeah, so the first thing is the person that you are getting into this faith-based relationship with should actually believe in God. Because... sometimes we like to swim against the current, right? You're trying to have a faith-based faith-based relationship with somebody who doesn't even believe in God. Like, I personally don't see how that can work. But there are people who, you know, get to maybe convince their partners to, you know, join them in their faith and join them in Christianity. I don't
know. Swimming against the current.
I can't really comment on that because I've not really gone through that whole process of, you know, trying to get.
I think
somebody
it was Paul. Paul mentioned something about how it's I think it was the second letter of Romans or Corinthians where he was explaining the idea that if you're already married to someone who's an unbeliever, you don't have to leave them because you might be the one that actually brings them to the faith. So I understand what you're saying. There are people who are able to convert their partners, their spouses to God. So it's totally something that's possible. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah. So my first point is
that you give the first. Your first tip is
my first tip
find
is
someone who believes one.
Somebody who believes and not even just because you want them to walk in the faith with you, but because when somebody is held to a certain set of morals, a certain set of principles, Christ-like principles, the behavior is curbed. our inhibitions are up. So if you, so I just find that if people who have a fear of the Lord, who fear God and who love God, generally would also treat you with some iota of respect, some you know, some level of respect and consideration.
Yeah.
So the second thing is, oh my gosh, I feel like, okay, honestly, this is a topic that gets very personal because the one of the things that Christian couples, you know, struggle with is sexual sin, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
And I remember asking you this question a couple of days ago. Like, how do you deal with that? You're like, how do you deal with abstinence in a relationship? Like long distance helps.
Yeah, long distance helps. Long distance really helps. And also, I guess you guys just really have to agree that this is what you're striving for. If you decide, okay,
yes,
you're trying to, you know, be abstinent. Vincent and I have had this conversation so many times in the span of the 7 years that we've been together, and luckily we're both open to you know, putting in that work and putting in that effort to, you know, remain Christ-like. We don't always succeed. Yeah. We don't always succeed. But the good thing is we put in the effort. For example, we are engaged. We could live together, right? I came back from South Africa, and I put in the effort. I actually made a point to get my own place. He has a place here in Douala. I could go live with him, and especially since we already knew that we were going to, you know, end up together, we were going to eventually get married. It's a discussion that we've always had, like, I think even a year into our relationship, we started talking about, okay, so what are we doing? What's the vision here?
So what is this?
So, yes. So,
yeah.
So I guess a good tip would be to try to reduce the opportunity for sin. Yeah, we don't do that. In my vlogs, you wouldn't see me like going over to his place a lot because that's actually how it is in reality. We hardly do sleepovers. But it's not easy. It's really not easy.
It's not for the faint-hearted.
But yeah, it's not for the faint-hearted.
I mean, what is
really strong.
Yeah. What really is, right? I think that's one of the, which segues into one question that I usually have for. It's part of that and also just a general idea of being a Christian. And I made a video that already talked about how it's actually very difficult to be a Christian. Like, to follow Christ is not a walk in the park.
Mm-hmm.
And my thought was, he died literally on a cross in the most abominable way, shedding his blood for us.
Yeah.
Do you really expect that to follow him will be a fun ride? Do you really expect that going to be, the store and just get your salvation?
I haven't heard you put that way before. That's actually quite interesting.
Yeah, I mean, Christianity was illegal for a while. People had to hide to pray, to hide to profess their faith. Like, people were burned in history.
That's what we have. So it's
like
matters.
Now people are like, oh, exactly. Now we have to, you know, we're just like, oh, I'm feeling horny, and you're like, yeah, that's part of the price to pay. Like, calm down.
and also, another thing to keep in mind is, God is actually merciful. He's merciful. So if you find that you've, you know, fallen off the wagon, or, you know, sinned, you know, just turn to him and say, Papa God, please forgive me and give me the grace and the strength to, you know, not fall into sin next time. It's
exactly, because there are people who do that, and then they're like, well, he'll forgive me anyway. And I'm like, that's not the whole point of forgiveness, bro. like that's forgiveness is because you were not intending to do it. Yes. And you found yourself like, oh, I'm sorry. It's not like, okay, I'm going to steal this meat now, because
and
I'm
then,
going to
and
ask
then
for forgiveness.
I'll discuss with God later.
I'll discuss with, like, that's not how it works. Yes. Like, yo. And one thing that I'll add to this is just what I've noticed in my life personally, especially recently, is that when you spend a lot of time, I'm sure you do this, when you spend time, and I know I've seen you in your vlogs, you know, when you're studying your Bible and actually taking your time to pray, a lot of the work of the Holy Spirit in renewing your mind and renewing your body is that some of those urges, if not all of them, just get taken away. Like, you don't feel certain things that you used to feel. Yeah, you don't feel some of those things because you just don't have the room for that. You're just filled with God, and you don't have that space to be idle and think about those stuff. So, but that's probably going to be another vlog to talk about that. And the question I wanted to ask you was, which is, you actually mentioned a little bit earlier, was, what do you think is something that people misunderstand about being a Christian that you've noticed in your own path and your own walk? Like, what is something that when you hear, you're like, I don't think these people actually get what this thing's all about?
Yeah, so, okay, I am going to talk from, okay, what I'm about to say would be geared more towards people who are not Christians at all, because I feel like there are different types of Christians. There are Christians who are Christian because they've been brought up Christian, and there are people who are Christian because they personally, you know, want to have that relationship with God. And I feel like most of us fall into that category of people who have been brought up Christian. We just know that, okay, I'm Christian. But later on in life,
second faith, yeah.
Yeah, inherited faith, basically. But later on in life, you have that personal encounter with God and you realize that, okay, this is a relationship that I personally have to work for and nourish and, you know, grow. So my answer to this is mainly geared towards people who, you know, don't even believe in God at all, because I have atheist friends, and I realize that most of them don't really consider, you know, Christianity because of the notion or the idea that they have about Christianity. They have the idea that it's this restricting faith, you know, this organization that just wants to stop you from being yourself, which is not the case, right? God says, come as you are. In fact, I think everybody who, you know, God's strongest disciples, the people who followed Jesus, you know, with very fervently, were those who realized that they were accepted just the way they were. The prostitutes, the thieves, you know, the two
Jesus, tax collectors,
tax collectors. Basically, Jesus was nailed to the cross beside two thieves, and one of them right there and then acknowledged God as, you know, Jesus as the Son of God, and God literally said, okay, see you later in heaven. Jesus said, see you later in heaven. So people have to realize that God literally just wants you. He wants you to come the way you are. You don't have to go back and then see how you're shoving all your sins into a closet, make everything neat, tie it with a bow before you come. And that's also advice I need to tell myself, because sometimes I fall into this, especially after I've sinned, right? I get into this space where I'm like, oh, I'm too ashamed to go to God right now. Wait. Let me first clean up my act. Then I find that a day has gone by, 2 days have gone by, one week has gone by, I've not opened my Bible. Basically, it's a relationship like every other relationship. If you stay for 1 week, let's say if you stay for 1 year and you've not spoken to your friend, you're going to feel awkward the next time that you talk to that person. So it's something that you need to constantly, you know, hey God, how are you doing? This is what's happened. And, you know, this is the situation. You know, you just have to keep that conversation open. It's literally, it's love. All you feel from God is love. Like, if you don't know what love is, if you have a void in your heart and you're not sure what to fill that void with, trust me, God will give you a kind of love that is beyond what human beings can give you. And a walk with God doesn't mean that you're going to walk without problems. No, you're going to have problems. So you will have problems. You will face challenges. This life will continue to be as difficult as it is. But the difference is when you're approaching life from a position of faith and hope and knowing that things are going to work out because God is on your side, it's very different from approaching life from a place of hopelessness, even though it may be the same problem that these two people are facing. Somebody with faith and somebody without faith may face the exact same life, but mentally, the person with faith will be in a better place than the person without faith because there's that reassurance, that hope, that renewing of the spirit,
grace,
you know, grace, all those things that give you the strength to keep going and to, you know, just... and be happy. And you know, it's possible to find joy even when things aren't going, you know, going well for you. So that's my spiel. Yeah. That's my spiel. I don't know if any of that made sense. Just try to pull out what little sense you can pull out from that, and you know, keep it pushing.
No, I think the things that you've mentioned that are going to stay with me is the idea of a relationship. And if you don't nourish that relationship, if you leave somebody for a year and you don't talk to them, the first thing they're going to be awkward.
Yeah.
That's one. So you have to have that relationship. And it's really interesting that you're bringing that, because in my Bible study, we've been doing this series on relationship. And one of the things that the pastor keeps bringing is the fact that there's this point that the relationship is built on three pillars.
Mm-hmm.
Respect, friendship, and trust.
Okay.
So if you don't have those things, then you don't have a relationship. So if you're having a relationship with God, you have to understand you respect God, that you have a friendship with God, you have a trust in Him that He will do that. Because what you mentioned about, yes, you're still going to have problems. You're still going to have things that don't work out. But when you trust that God has your back and that God is watching over you, the way you move is different. Like you said, two people can have the same difficulty, but one person approaches it knowing that, this is my cup that God has given me. You know, it's difficult. I don't want it, but I'm going to take it. Yeah. It's like the day before Christ was crucified. He himself was like, God, this cup, I don't want it though. If this is what has to happen, it's okay. If it's what has to happen, I'll take it. And I love the way you put it. And I think there's a lot of strength in that. And your journey is a representation of it. I mean, you've traveled to, how many countries have you been so far? South Africa, Kenya, that's like two that I know. Where else have you been?
Are we counting Cameroon?
I guess. I mean, everybody has gone to one country where they were born.
Yeah, South Africa, Kenya, Cameroon, Ethiopia. I spent 1 week
in Ethiopia. Okay. I'm going to say that doesn't count, but I have a soft spot for Ethiopia on my channel, generally speaking.
Yeah.
So, yes. Yeah. And throughout your journey, throughout seeing all these countries, seeing these places, I feel like you've been exposed to different worlds. And what I'm hearing is this, it's like you're finding yourself in each of these situations. You're finding who you are, who God wants you to be. And then you're finding a way to tie in your interests, like your long loves of storytelling, visuals, fulfillment. You're still finding a way to fit that all in. And I would love to find out how your family has been when it comes to this aspect, because it seems to me like you... Why are you looking at me like that? I'm trying to find out how you've been able to carry this multiple interests, multiple different way of looking at the world. Because I usually people like you and me, we usually stand out in the house. Everybody's one way, and then we are just like, ah, why is this one different? Why are you thinking that you're smarter than everybody? What's your problem? So I wonder if your experience has been like that when it comes to the way that you've carried yourself in the house and just your interests and work and stuff like that.
Yeah. You know, my mom always says, God gave me Ambara Joshua. Like, he gave me so many different, like, he put my hand in so many different pots, and I don't know which one to focus on. But, so... regarding my creative endeavors, my mom has always been very supportive, like from the get-go. Mm-hmm. She's the first to watch videos, she comments, she likes, she gives thumbs down on negative comments. Yeah. If there was a way for her to report people to YouTube to say this person said something negative to my daughter, people should take them down. Like, it's basically, she hasn't discovered the report button. You know how you can report somebody for harassment?
Yep.
Yeah. If that was the case, many of you would be down. Because anything remotely negative, she's on it. Like,
she's taking
dislike. Anyway. So, yeah, she's been very supportive. She gives me ideas. Like, she actually told me, Peros, you have to film some village vlogs, because I've been going on YouTube and I see that village vlogs, they go viral. So you have to come, we go to the village and we film some vlogs there. And I'm like, please, that's your business.
I remember you sent you made the video of her chicken business.
Yes.
And that's, I actually sent that video to my dad because my dad is in agriculture. I was like, hey, you should watch this video. I watched all that video. You going to the pen, getting the chicken, the poultry, going to the market, selling them.
Yes.
I was like, I don't know how I watched it, but I watched all of it. And it was amazing.
Wow.
So, Mama, thank you for letting us watch that. Yeah.
We call her Mom.
Mom? Mm-hmm. I call her Mama, so
that's okay. Problem. But yeah, okay. So for the rest of my family, they watch the vlogs. My siblings, you know, they are my siblings. So siblings do what siblings do. Yeah, you go, girl! You go, girl! Yeah! That's what siblings do.
Yeah.
And then,
for my dad,
he actually watched one of my videos from beginning to end. And at the end, he turned and he told me, I didn't know I was actually going to sit through this thing. It's actually interesting. but I don't understand it. I don't understand, you know.
It's a different generation.
Yes. It's not, I really don't understand, you know, what this whole social media thing is about. So,
yeah. That makes sense. And I think we're getting to the end of our conversation here because, yeah, first of all, I'm very grateful that you're able to make this time. I know how late it is for you and you have a lot of things on your plate, but nothing but. And I would like to find out if there's anything you wanted us to talk about that I did not bring up, because I could talk about 1,000 things. I want to be respectful of your time.
Mm.
So what's something that you thought I was supposed to mention that I didn't? Let's talk about it.
You told me that we're going to talk about editing. But we have not discussed anything.
Yes, because we're keeping the best for the last. Let me do politics. We're keeping the best for the last. So, what I love about your videos is your editing style. And you mentioned a little bit earlier during the conversation that in the beginning your editing was a little bit rigid. You know, it was very
rigid. Personality didn't shine through.
Your personality, yes, it didn't shine through. That's right. So I'm wondering how you have been able to, one, train yourself to edit, because I know people who like editing so hard, editing so difficult, editing's crazy. You use Filmora. I don't know how you're able to do it. I downloaded Filmora. I used it. I was like, I don't like Filmora. I've never used it. I don't know if you've changed tools over time.
No, Filmora.
I would like to know your evolutionary edit. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, so you're a Filmora gal. Okay, cool. When you started making videos, you were just filming. You were just recording those things. When did you start editing?
I actually started editing with Windows Movie Maker, like I said.
Movie Maker.
Yeah, Windows Movie Maker. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then.
So I think that's when.
How did you find out about Filmora?
No, no, wait. Yeah. Let's go all the way back. So before I actually got into YouTube, I used to edit on Windows Movie Maker. So that's where I learned the basics: transitions, cutting clips, putting clips together, and you know, just organizing clips into a video. I guess those are just the basics. Almost everybody can do those because people who do these video collages, that's what they use, that's what they do. And then when I started YouTube, I immediately started with Filmora. That was the app that I started with from the get-go. And
how did you even come across Filmora?
No, I Googled. I did a lot of research. Like, what app could I use? So I had a short list. There was DaVinci Resolve, Filmora, Adobe Premiere Pro. But Premiere Pro was too expensive for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. DaVinci at that time, it was very unstable. But I hear that now it's even become more stable than Adobe. I don't know. Don't quote me. But
I haven't used Resolve, but I love that it's free. Yeah.
Yes. And then Filmora wasn't too heavy because I also didn't want something that was too, you know, RAM intensive, too
resource intensive.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So Resolve and Premiere Pro are very resource intensive. Filmora just seemed to strike that balance in the middle between, you know, user-friendly, resource intense, you know, not resource intensive, and it was affordable. That was the most important thing. It was affordable. Yeah. So
I think you should make a course on editing if you haven't done yet. I know you did a tutorial one time, but you need to make like an actual YouTube course, how to edit a video.
I'm working on
how
it.
How to edit. Okay. And you heard it first here.
I'm working
on it. Cool. Glad to hear. I really think you, because when I see your edits, kudos to your intro. When I watched that intro and I saw the way you did the intro, and like, you did it on an iPad with Procreate, like, how? Okay. We haven't even talked about your actual talent, though.
No.
Yeah, we haven't even brought it up even once.
Okay, so the thing with the intro is I did the graphics on my on Procreate on my iPad. I used the app Procreate, and then I put in the sound effects, basically what the pros would call sound design. I did the sound design in Filmora. So I think I'm going to deconstruct this in a video or something because it was pretty, it's pretty simple. Like once, sorry, I keep interrupting you.
No, go ahead.
And that's the thing with editing, right? If you're able to deconstruct what somebody did, you realize that really there's nothing to it. If you're able to look at an edit and say, oh, so what this person did was they put this, then they added maybe this effect, then that effect, you realize that at the end of the day, it's something that you can also do. It's just that for some reason, when you look at something and it looks very nice, it's well packaged, and then when you look at the end product, you tend to see it as this big mountain that you cannot climb. But once you break it down into small steps, you realize that at the end of the day, nobody was born, you know, knowing how to edit. Nobody is born with skill.
That's right.
Yeah, it's all learned, and anybody can learn it. That's what even I used to tell my sister, Lizzie. I used to tell her.
By the way, I love Lizzie's food. Even though I never eaten. I always just see her cooking every day on the vlog.
I'll not even give you her secrets.
Okay, no problem.
But let's just say not all the food is cooked.
You know what? It's okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, you used to tell Lizzie about.
You know what? You can actually do my job, like my engineering job, at you know my 9-to-5. You can do it because if all you need is somebody to break it down and explain to you that this is this, we do this because this is the effect that it has on this other component and all of that. Once somebody explains that to you, you don't even need to go through the 4 years of engineering training or whatever. You can actually do that job, honestly. And that's the way it is for most things, most jobs around the world. I mean, except things like maybe surgery.
No, let's explain surgery for 1 week and then have you open up.
No, but the key word is most. The key word is most.
Yes, yeah, you're right.
I think most skills can be learned. Yeah.
I am thinking about the people who would probably give you a reason or give you an excuse why it doesn't work. And it just even goes to reinforce that your answer is correct, because the people who will learn are those who are open to accepting that it's even possible in the first place.
Yeah.
Anybody who would tell you, oh, I'm not that smart or this or that, they are not people who want to learn. Yeah. And I even in this case, the question that I didn't ask that I'm feeling like I should actually ask is, but that's probably going to be a part two at some point in the future. I want to know more about your journey through your career. We'll not talk about it today.
Okay.
We've talked about a lot of things.
Okay.
Talk about all what we need to talk about.
I'm actually doing a part two.
Yes, I would love to do a part two after this one, because I think once I've gotten all this intro out of the way, now we can talk about the real things.
Yeah.
And actually get to the meat of the conversations that we're supposed to have. But yeah, I want to know more about your journey as an electrical engineer, your time in South Africa, and the evolution of that channel in the details of things that change in your mind and that program, because I think a lot of content creators see, like what you said, the end products.
Yeah.
They see the video, the 30 minute video. They don't see the week that you spend. They don't see the night. Like right now, it's like, what time is it for you? Is it midnight? 11?
It's 11:20 p.m.
And you're about to start editing or writing. You're filming a vlog. So people don't see the work that goes into this. They just see that, like, oh, why has Mutombo not posted a video this week? You're like,
oh,
bro, you don't know what's happening in your life.
Oh, my
God. So we'll talk about all that in part two. But the last question that I have for you, which I ask everybody on the podcast, is how would you like to be remembered? At the end of your journey, at the end of your life, what would you like people to say about you?
Do you know what? I would like people to say, I learned this or that from her. Because I'm at the position where I don't know what physical thing I can really leave on this earth. At this point, I have nothing. So I don't know what I can say. Okay, I've left this bag of money for my future generations. I don't know that I can say those words right now. But what I can say is, I've taught this person so and so thing. Yeah, so I would like people to remember me by what I taught them or taught the world, or, you know. And I feel like my biggest asset is my intellect, basically what I have in my mind. That's what I can really share. So, yeah, I think that's it.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Friend, you know, we don't call each other by name, we just call each other friend.
Yes, that's friend. How it has been.
So I really appreciate taking the time to come here and have this conversation, and I look forward to a part two. We'll talk about your engineering journey. I don't know when that will be, so I'm not giving any dates. It's going to be in the future, that's for sure. But for now, this has been really nice. Thank you very much for being here, and I think with everything that you've learned so far, everything that you're doing, and what you're working towards fulfillment, I'm very excited for your future. Honestly, I think there's just blessings waiting for you.
Ooh,
all the cool things happen, like the marriage happening in a few, I don't know, months, years, whatever long it's going to take. When I see you and Vincent, like, Vincent looks like the kind of guy who, I know you pick a right guy for yourself. So you guys seem to actually really have good vibe for each other. So I'm excited for you both. And I think it's just going to be blessings. Of course, with the occasional sprinkles of suffering for a Christian life. But
yeah. It's inevitable, but
it's inevitable indeed. Yeah. Thank you so much, Peros.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. It's been a hoot.
All right.